What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy. Okay.
Hello.
Hailey Bieber, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Hi.
How did you pick your outfit for today?
I just wanted to feel comfortable, and I feel like I just wanted to wear like jeans and a t-shirt and
be cozy.
Little, but like still cute. Mm-hmm. Still like a little vibe.
I feel like that's your entire vibe, is always being comfortable looking, mm-hmm. and then having like a tinge of like super like sexy and cute, but like still like you can.
I can't stand being uncomfortable. I'll do it for a certain amount of
time.
Sorry, amount of time.
She's burping.
Yeah, like I'm throwing up.
The first person to throw up on Call Her Daddy is
me. Sorry. When I say I will do it for a certain amount of time, I mean like if I have to like go be on a carpet for a second and it's just like the look is the look and there's like something like stabbing me in the side, like I'll endure it for a second or a few hours and then.
I need to tell you, one time I went to a fitting and this woman was like, oh my God, try on these heels. And I was like, whoa, like those look aggressive. And like, they're the Hailey Bieber heels. Like they're the classic ones she always wears. And I was like,
were they Jimmy Choo?
I don't even know. Hailey, I don't know. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll try them off. Hailey wears them. Hailey, they were the most uncomfortable shoe I've ever put on in my life. I was like, what the fuck? How does she walk in these? It's the one, you know what I'm talking about? It's the one
big platform.
Yes, but it's basically just the bottom of a shoe and then the string goes around your fucking ankle.
I used to be a ballet dancer and like dance on point.
Flex on us.
Okay. So I think that the reason that really high heels don't bother me is because my foot is just like used to being like, it doesn't care.
It's a gift because when I tell you I couldn't walk after I wore those, I was like, okay, Hailey, we're not on the same playing field. She clearly knows what she's doing. If you could trade closets or a sense of style with any of your friends, who would it be?
It's so interesting because I feel like me and all of my friends have such different style that I think I'm trying to think of who I feel the most similar to. I think Kylie has a very amazing and fun closet that is just, I mean, who wouldn't want to share, like, trade closets with her?
I agree.
I'll trade houses with her, too, if she ever wants.
I'm like, you know what? I think I agree.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I think I take high
We're also
closet.
The same shoe size.
What shoe size are you?
An 8.
I don't want to overstep, but so am I, Hailey. So if you have any hand-me-downs.
So if we want to exchange shoes, right. We can do that.
Just not your heels.
So it's. I think it's so funny that I'm like thinking about, I'm like, who can I actually like wear all their stuff?
Right.
Like, well, she's an 8 and I'm an 8.
Right.
So.
I'm like, it's actually just a game. Like, it, but you're like, no, logistically, no,
yeah,
I love it.
I'm such a logistical thinker. I'm like, but if I was to trade with this person and she's a size 9.5, then I can't have any of the shoes. Like, Hailey, this is not real.
It's fantasy. It's a game. We can pretend. Like, okay, but I love it. Okay, so Kylie, hit us up. We're ready to take over your closet.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Daddy Gang, I get that there are some things you don't want to share, but bottling everything up inside can truly have some awful consequences. I remember growing up, I guess honestly, the truth is I was getting bullied and I was like so embarrassed to tell my family that because at home I was fine, but at school it was tough for me. And I just remember feeling so awful about myself and I kept it to myself and I dealt with it by myself. And it literally just caused truly maybe like a decade of trauma. And later in life, now that I've processed it, I'm like, damn, I would have been so much better off if I had just talked to someone about it. And it didn't even have to be my parents. Talking helps a lot. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I have had such an incredible relationship and experience with therapy. I was so ready to get better and to better myself and to understand myself more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, and flexible.
It's easy to get started. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists whenever you need to for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/daddy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/daddy.
2 years ago, I became pregnant with a baby I desperately wanted. During a routine ultrasound, I learned that the fetus would have a fatal condition and never survive. I had to flee my own state to receive treatment. I think Donald Trump bears an incredible amount of responsibility for these restrictive laws. We need leaders that will protect our rights, and that's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
You came in here, there's paparazzi taking photos of you. It's a lot. How do you handle the pressure of being photographed for the world to see almost every single time you step outside?
It's really funny because I was thinking about this coming over here and they were like following me in the car, which is like, it happens all the time. Whatever, like, I know that's going to happen if I'm in LA. There's not very many ways to avoid it. They just sit at the bottom of like my street. So it is what it is. But I was driving, and like sometimes when there's paparazzi following me, I have a flash in my head of like getting out with a baseball bat and literally destroying their car. Like, I literally sometimes it makes me just so annoyed that I'm like, one of these days, I swear to God, I'm gonna get out of the car with a fucking baseball bat and I'm going to like destroy their. This is a hypothetical situation, by the way.
Logistical. She's being hypothetical.
I just like, and driving over here, I was like, I literally like, that's my urge right now. And I'm like, at the same time, do I want to give anybody the power to like disturb my energy like that? No, but it's just like a feeling of, it's just annoying. It's the feeling of like hitting a breaking point of like, I can't stand it anymore.
Yeah.
And some days are totally fine though, and some I can avoid it, and like I sometimes like get really lucky and like sneak different ways to like do it. But I think what I've come to terms with is like, that's gonna happen in LA,
right?
You know what I mean? This isn't the like middle of nowhere, like, you know, where there's like actual privacy. It's like the land of where everything happens.
Totally.
And there's tons of people here. It's also like, I'm not the only person that deals with this. It's like so many people deal with it, and it comes with the territory. And it's not like, I hate when people are like, well, you asked for this, because it's like, I don't think that's like a real thing to say. I didn't ask for grown men to follow me around with cameras, but I do understand that it comes with the territory.
It's hard to make friends when you're in a position mm-hmm. where you don't know people's intentions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a hard time trusting people?
Sometimes. I feel like I'm the type of person, and I've always been this way, where I'm like, I trust people until they prove me wrong, which is like, I guess sometimes can be a dangerous way to be. I'm a people person. Like, I love to connect with people. I love meeting new people. I sometimes have a hard time with like becoming like friends with someone or close to someone, but like I love being cool with people and like being social and meeting people and knowing their story and like, where are they from? I think that I have a lot of my friends that I'm very close to are people I've been close to for a long time. Some newer friends, some not. But I just think, yeah, I think there's sometimes that aspect of like the distrust of like, I don't know what you want to be around for.
Have you ever had someone take advantage of you and your situation and like kind of love that it's like, oh, I get this lifestyle around her? And like, how do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm. My personality is very like, I don't do well with confrontation. I don't like to like confront awkward situations. I'm trying to work on it. I'm trying to be better at that. But I never want to like, I've always been the type of person where like, I don't want to like end things on like a sour note with a person, because especially if there's someone like in an industry where I have to see them, or like if we're gonna be out somewhere and I gotta see you, like I don't want to walk into a room and feel like I have beef with someone. Like, that stresses me out big time, crazy.
Even if it's so you can stick up for yourself.
Yeah,
we're working on that today.
Yeah, okay. We're working okay. on that today.
We're gonna work even on that.
Yeah, even if it that's something I struggle with, even if it's for me sticking up with myself, I just want to like, because I think there's a way to stick up for yourself and still be cordial. I've had situations and or a situation where I feel like there was like a lot of stuff I found out about the situation, and then I knew if I confronted the person, they were just not going to own up to any of it. So mm-hmm. it's like, what's the point?
Right.
If I'm going to go to you and be like, here's what I found out. I know that it's true. I've seen the proof. Too many people have said something to me about it, and they're just going to be like, I can't believe you would believe that about me. Like, that's just not true. Why am I going to waste my breath with somebody who's just not even going, who's not in the place in their life or like the type of person that is going to even receive the confrontation at all? Because I can do confrontation if it's in a calm, appropriate, I'm not a yeller, like I'm not going to like freak out and like, I'll get fired up when it's something that I'm really like passionate about or defensive about mm-hmm. because like I've had that happen to me before. But I still always want to end it on like a, how did we move forward from here? Mm. Not like, and sometimes the reality I've had to face is that like sometimes that's not possible. Like sometimes you just can't be around that person or be friends with that person. And like, it is what it is.
Totally.
You just have to move on.
So many people in the world are fascinated by you and fascinated by your life. And I think the public can kind of feel that from you of like, you don't like confrontation. Mm-hmm. You rarely will speak out on things if there's drama, which I think so many people do respect you for. But how much does that then weigh on you of things piling up on you that mm-hmm. it's like, when is going to be a good moment for Haley to just kind of like speak her truth? And you've done it a couple times on the internet, which I think people were like, oh, fuck yes. Like, Haley, let's go, which we're going to get into.
Well, I think based on what you're saying, like one of the, I think, issues with that is that then you get stuck having to explain yourself for every little thing. And I had to get over that because I was in a place at one point where I felt like I wanted to like explain the narrative and explain myself. And like, that's also exhausting. So if it's like every single time I do an interview or if I say something and there's going to be something that people are like, why would she say that? Or like, she's wrong for saying that, or that doesn't make sense. You said marriage is hard work. And then I said that and everybody was like, that's not a good sign if you think that it's like hard. Like, it's like no matter what I say, I'm always going to have to be explaining myself to people, which is why I actually hate doing interviews where they're like, it's like a blurb of a longer thing that I said that's just so out of context. And then I'm going to feel like I'm explaining myself.
What marriage doesn't have ups and downs? And in a good way, you get
through
shit.
But also what I meant when I said hard work is just like, there's compromise, there's sacrifice. I feel that way in most relationships in my life, even friendships, even work relationships. Like, they can be tough sometimes. I didn't mean it just overall. Yeah, like, it's hard and it sucks. Like, that's not what I'm saying at all. It's literally the best thing ever. The whole sentence of what I said was like, he's my best friend, I love coming home to him, but like, yeah, it takes work because I'm 25 years old and I have a life and I have a career and I have my own friends. So trying to balance making my wants and needs and hopes and dreams work while meshing my life with another human who has his hopes and dreams and career, and like, we're busy people and we want to be in a marriage, so we're making it work, and sometimes it's hard. How is that not make sense?
People don't want it to make sense. Yeah. People really want that statement to be like, the marriage is ending, like, here we go.
Oh, but people have been saying that since the beginning, so that's why at this point I'm not as, I was more sensitive about it. I don't really feel sensitive about it now because I'm just like,
totally,
no matter what I say, it's like, the marriage is ending. Like, every single time I say something,
it's like, here we go,
about my own relationship, it's like, there's something wrong with it. So it's like, I just don't care. People have been saying this now for 4 years.
So let's get into it. You are married.
I start sticking my feet.
You're
into
like, oh,
the couch.
Fuck.
I'm like,
here you go, Alex, just go. She's literally burrowing in.
Like, look at my hands.
Oh my God, Haley. Okay. You married one of the most famous people on the planet, Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. What are the best parts about being married to Justin?
Well, I think the best parts are that he's my best friend, and there's nothing better than being with the person that makes you smile the most, makes you laugh the most. Like, he's just literally the best human to me ever. And I think that he's a person who has been through a lot and shouldn't have gotten to the other side of a lot of what he's been through, and he has, and he's overcome so many different things in his life for being famous so young. And the fact that he's as normal as he is, he's literally just, to me, I feel like he's a very like normal, regular guy. I guarantee you someone takes this and they like fucking chop it up and make it sound like I said something different. But I've known him for a very long time. We were friends for a long time before anything else. And like, I just love him.
You can see it with the two of you, even mm-hmm. though we only see stuff. I mean, I remember when I saw you guys on the beach in Santa Barbara mm-hmm. and I grew up, I watched Justin Bieber. I was like, oh, like I didn't know what to expect. Like mm-hmm. I was definitely intimidated by you guys because we'd only met once. I was like, wait, why are they so normal? Justin's like, hey, what's up? Gives me a hug. You're like, what are you guys doing on your trip? I'm like, you guys are so, so normal for what, how yeah. crazy your life is. And it's unfortunate that people don't get to see that side of you guys.
Yeah. He's also like, he just has the kindest, sweetest, most like gentle heart and soul to me. And I've always thought that about him. Obviously, he's gone through phases in his life where he was being, you know, a little out there. I didn't want to say like fuck boy because it's like not. Yeah, but like yes and no. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. But like he was just in a different space in his life and was like, I think ultimately when people are like acting out, it's just because they're hurting. And he was just in a space in his life. I mean, we're all hurting every single day. But I think sometimes we go through a season where it's like we're hurting a lot more. We're going through a lot more. So we're just a different version of ourselves. That's not really who we are. But like to me, he's just the best, the most fun. Like I have the most fun with him. He understands me more than anybody ever has in my whole life. And I think that goes both ways. And he's just my guy.
How has being married to someone with that level of fame impacted your identity?
Where do I start? Well, I think even for starters, even me talking about him or talking about our relationship, people will take that and be like, all she ever talks about is her relationship with him. And even something like that, I'm just like, well, we are married and he's a huge part of my life. And obviously people are very interested in like our life together and he's a humongous public figure. So it's like it's a little bit unavoidable at times. And I do try to, you know, have my own thing, but it's like our lives are completely meshed together. So I don't know. I'm like, what do you want from me? Like, of course people are going to ask me about it. They're going to ask him about it. Like, I just don't see how that's like avoidable. As sometimes it is because it's just not necessary to talk about. Mm-hmm. But like even in a situation like this, yeah, we're married. I have his last name. Like I don't know how I'm supposed to avoid like talking about my life. Like that's my life.
This person that you happen to be married to happens to also right. be one of the most famous people
Nobody
in the world.
Nobody would be asking me about him if he was someone who had a different type of job or like, you know,
right.
a 9-to-5. Like I just the reality is that it is what it is.
From your point of view, can you explain why the internet was so angry over your engagement to Justin?
First of all, I think one thing is that we're both really young. I think honestly that's for starters, which I totally understand. When we got engaged, I was 21 and he was 24 and 21. I personally never thought I was going to get married that young. Like I always thought I would be maybe getting married now, and I'm 25 now and I still think I'm really young. I think the timing was obviously very rapid and very fast, which now being 4 years past that, looking back on it, I totally get it. I'm like, yeah, that seemed really drastic and really crazy but that was what we felt was a decision between the two of us, and it felt correct for the two of us at the time, and clearly we were right because here we are 4 years later. And I think just given the timeline of like where he was at before we got back together and what was going on, and there was just a lot happening.
Yeah.
But I will say too, like, the only people that really know the truth of the situation and what the timeline really was and how it happened and how it went down are like me and him. perception is a really tricky thing, because when you're watching something from the outside, you can see it one way when it may not really be the reality of what happened behind closed doors. And that's a big challenge, I think, of being somebody who is in the spotlight or being famous, is that I know how we got to where we got, period. Like, that's, I just know how it happened. I was there, and I was living it every day. So there's just, yeah, there's a lot that I can understand why people were so like, what is going on? Like, this seems crazy.
Your husband was in a very public relationship. They were mm-hmm. kids. People were obsessed with the idea of them. People were confused on the timeline you're talking about of like, is she a homewrecker? So I guess my question is, Haley, mm-hmm. were you ever with Justin romantically at the same time as her?
No, not one time. When him and I started hanging out, like, okay, let's just put it this way. Mm-hmm. When him and I ever started like hooking up or like anything of that sort, he was not ever in a relationship ever at any point. I would never, it's not my character to mess with someone's relationship. I would just never do that. I was raised better than that. I'm not interested in doing that, and I never was. I think that there are situations where you can still kind of have like back and forth with someone, but even that was not the situation. Like, I can say, period, point blank, I was never with him when he was in a relationship with anybody. That's the end of it. And I had been involved with him since I was 18. The timeline also that I think sometimes is in question of like us getting together and getting engaged and him having been spending time with his ex before that. This is so crazy. I've literally never talked about this ever. I understand, again, how it looks from the outside, and there's a lot of perception there, but that was a situation where I know for a fact that it was the right thing for them to close that door. They were not in a relationship at that time, but of course, there's a very long history there, and it's not my relationship. It has nothing to do with me. So I respect that a lot, but I know that it closed a chapter, and I think it was the best thing that could have happened for him to move on and be engaged and get married and like move on with his life in that way. And it's hard for me to talk about this because I don't want to talk on either one of their behalf again, because it was their relationship and I honestly respect that very deeply. But I just know what was going on when we got back together, and I know what had to happen for that to come back together in a healthy way. And I think it was the most healthy, mature decision that he could have made. And I respect that. As a woman, I would never want to get into a relationship with someone and be engaged to them and be getting married to them and think in the back of my mind, I wonder like if that was really like closed for you. And like, and I know for a fact that the reason we were able to get back together was because it was very much completely closed, and that is respectful to me.
So let's talk about your experience with, there's been a lot of hate mm-hmm. on the internet. I know you don't like to talk about this stuff, but no. You've never...
It literally makes me so uncomfortable. But
and
like,
I see that. I see.
Yeah, I'm like, can't stop moving, and I'm like crawling, because I just feel like there's like a little bit of that like anxiety of like, people will probably take it the wrong mm-hmm. way, or like, I just don't want to say something that is like being disrespectful or like bringing up something that can like stir up feelings for someone that like, I know that we're just all so far moved on mm-hmm. from like any type of drama, and I'm so happy for that. So like, I get nervous about talking about it because I'm like, I don't want to like stir anything up or like bring anything up that is going to be like a thing. Or,
and I get that, and I think the reason, unfortunately, is you guys aren't completely normal human beings. Mm-hmm. There is a complete world out there that is obsessed with all of you mm-hmm. in different ways. And then there are people that hate you for who your husband dated back in his past. Mm-hmm. Take me through how your husband's past relationship still to this day affects what people are saying about you and to you on the internet.
Well, I think like one of the things that we already just covered is that like the timeline of things and like a lot of the hate and the perpetuation comes from like, oh, you stole him. And I guess maybe that just comes from like the fact that they wished that like he had ended up with someone else. And that's fine. Like you can wish that all you want, but that's just not the case.
In December of 2020, a person posted a video encouraging haters to comment on your Instagram live with nasty messages announcing their allegiance for Justin's ex and just like fully harassing you on your live. Mm-hmm. What do you remember feeling on that Instagram live when you saw those comments start popping up?
I think there's like a certain like almost like numbness that you get where you just like, you just know what's going to happen. It still happens to this day. You're talking about something that was 2 years ago now, almost three. And it's something that's, if I was to go live on Instagram right now, it would still be happening probably less, which is nice. Mm-hmm. But you just reach a point where you're just like, you have to just like ignore it and be like, okay.
And didn't Justin came publicly to your defense and like mm-hmm. said something?
Well, because I know that for him, that's hurtful because if we have moved on, why can't you? Like, that's kind of just the whole thought process of like, it's just hurtful. It's hurtful. Yeah. It's bullying.
It brings me back to the Rob Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, the Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth, mm-hmm. their first love, right? Mm-hmm. And people are obsessed, I feel like, with this concept of like your first relationship. Somehow it's being pushed onto you as like, get the fuck out of the way, like let them get back. And you're like, if I wasn't even here, that's not going to happen. So mm-hmm. like, let us just live our lives. Yeah. And now you go find your partner and you be happy. But it's hard.
I have had this conversation with a psychiatrist, with a therapist before, because I'm just like, I hate comparison. The whole point of this conversation is that we're talking about how my relationship is being compared to something else, or I'm being compared to another woman, and, you know, get the fuck out of the way type of a thing. So where I'm at and the position I'm in, it's not for everybody, but everybody has a purpose. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're supposed to also be 25 and married and doing this, or yeah. I could have nothing figured out right now if in an alternate situation, in an alternate life.
And I think, Haley, he was America's bad boy sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's ownership people yeah. and fans feel there over
is.
Him.
There totally is. And there's also this, like, why is it you? There's so much of that I feel like, why you, though? Like, and I'm like, I don't know.
Right. Like, I just fell in love. He fell in love.
We fell in love. And, right. like, I think there was times where, like, I can confidently say I don't think we knew it was going to be each other several times. So like, I can't say that, yes, at 18 years old, I knew 100% that that was my husband. I didn't fucking know.
You almost can't live up to the idea of who they think belongs with him.
This is the thing. If it was another person, it's like, because so many people have adored him for so long, nobody in their mind would have ever been like the person. And here's the thing too, is like, we're talking about a lot of like the negative side of it. There's also so many people who have made me feel so embraced and so encouraged and so loved. And obviously it has brought me a newfound audience and a newfound, I want to like give credit also totally. To the people who have like supported and been so kind and like so amazing and so great.
I think everyone in the world almost knows that you have been bullied and harassed on the internet for almost 4 years now. Like, that's mm-hmm. a fact. Mm-hmm. And it's,
but I do think it has changed.
Okay.
I will give credit to say that I do think that 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2.5 years mm-hmm. ago, because of how intense it was, it made me just very like closed off and like not want to share anything really of myself on the internet. I didn't really want to be open. I would get a pit in my stomach doing interviews because I'm just like, I can't, like, I'm, it's like being like traumatized, kind of like you're too scared to like speak or open yourself up or say the wrong thing. And then you start to become, I had moments where I felt like I was becoming very like, not like a robot, but like I had to be very meticulous about what I was saying and very agreeable and can't say the wrong thing. And like, and it just starts to become this very like weird way of feeling, where you feel like you just can't be expressive and you can't be yourself. And then that was where it came in with like wanting to do YouTube and trying to have a space within this age of the internet and this age of social media where I can say, this is who I actually am. Take it or leave it, like me or not, this is who I am. And I felt like actually taking this step to, even though at times it was really uncomfortable for me, taking the step of being like, I'm proud of who I am and this is my personality. And like, this is going to sound probably so corny, but like, to me, I've always felt like I was just like a girl from fucking New York. Oh my God, this is going to sound so cringe.
I love it.
I grew up, to me, I felt like very normal. And like, I am from a small town called Nyack that is like a suburb of New York City. And I woke up every day and like, I was homeschooled and like did ballet. And like, to me, I feel like I've remained that same person. Of course, life has changed drastically. Yeah. But like at the core, I feel like I am proud of who I am at the core. Like, I know I've always been that same person, and I feel very rooted and grounded. And I grew up very grounded and rooted. And of course, I came from a famous family. Everybody, you know, that's the reality of my life. Can't change that either. And I just feel like, again, people didn't really like know me and know my story and know the kind of person I was. Like, people don't know what kind of friend I am. They don't know what kind of daughter I am. They don't know what kind of sister I am. Like, but I know.
You are starting to share more. Mm-hmm. And even in the video that you made where you basically asked people to stop harassing you and you were like, leave me alone. Yeah. Just leave me alone.
I was like half joking, but I was being half serious. Like, it was supposed to be something that was like light and funny, but I was also being serious because I like woke up one day and I was like, I can't believe we're still doing this.
Because what, you like read a comment?
Yeah, like I was, which again, like I have to stop myself from doing all the time because we know that the internet is a toxic hole and like comments are a toxic hole. But I was just like curious about something and then I'm like reading, I'm like, are we still talking about this? Like, we're getting to, this has been, it's been years now, like 4 years we've been together. Like, come on.
Let it go.
Let's all evolve together. Let's hold hands and really like, okay, we're done. Like, that's how I wanted to, that's how I felt in that moment. I was like, are we serious that this is what we're still doing? Like, we're still going to harass me about this shit. There is so much that I could have said. Mm-hmm. There was so much that I at times was like this close to saying, and I just felt like there's so many things that were happening where it's also like there's a time and a place. Mm-hmm. And there's also a time and a place to let other people express what they need to express and like go through their feelings and emotions. And like, I just felt like there were certain times if I was going to say something, it was going to make things way worse and not be beneficial. Again, it was going to be my word against someone else's, against a bunch of other people, and it would just not be beneficial. And I've struggled with that for, I had struggled with that for a long time. Like, I would talk to my therapist and be like, but it's not fair that people think that this is what happened when this is really what happened. And then there, you get into a cycle of like, again, feeling the need to explain yourself. And for me, it's not even about explaining myself. It's about people knowing the truth, because there's a truth. There is actually the truth of something that happened, and there's the truth of what didn't happen. So I think for me, when people, you know, make up stories about me online, I'm just like, but that's not what happened. That's not the truth.
Is the crux of it the homewrecker thing? Like, is that what really bothers you?
I think there's a lot of timing and timeline stuff that like just wasn't true. And that's also just the internet making up their stories and like taking little bits and pieces of something they're looking at from the outside. And there, and by the way, it's not even, it's so many different things. The internet can make up, they can literally sit here and say that I threw up on you.
And which like, she did.
But that's not, okay? Haley, and you can sit there and say, Haley threw up on me. It was really crazy. And then I would read that on TMZ and I'd be like, that did not happen. Do you know what I'm saying? There's absolutely just stuff that happens all spins the time that I'm like, hello?
Can you explain what happened when you were taking photos on the red carpet with your husband at the Met Gala in 2021?
Oh, and people were screaming? Mm-hmm. So, yes, I could hear everyone screaming. And again, I think there's a certain part of you that has a numbness of just like, I was like really surprised. I could kind of hear it, but I didn't know if that's what was really going on until I saw the video after. The whole thing of everybody being like, oh, he's trying to tell her not to cry. That was not true. It wasn't making me cry. although it's a very disrespectful thing to do towards anybody, I felt like I had something in my eye. Mm-hmm. That was, see, that's just what goes to show you how out of context things can be seen. When he's like trying to help me, I'm like, I feel like there's something in my eye. Do you see something in my eye? And I'm going like this. And he's like, no, 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 you're good.
And as this is happening, everyone's chanting. I don't even know if it was their relationship name or just her name.
But I they think were chanting probably at
you.
Both.
So then
I
you know. Take the sunglasses.
Yeah.
And
the sunglasses were just part of my look. They were just part of my look. I knew I was going to wear the sunglasses regardless on the carpet for some photos and then some without. But yeah, I did hear people yelling. It wasn't making me almost cry. I think seeing the video back after made me like, damn, like that sucks. That's the energy people are like putting out into like that you would even spend your time
camping out,
standing outside and doing that. I just felt like it was disrespectful to me, to my relationship. It just was, period, the end. But I think I've endured so much disrespect, and I still do to this day, that there was like a part of me that was just like, another day, another negative slay.
It's like so depressing.
I know.
See, that's like a very public example, I feel like, of you having to go through that. Is there anything that comes to mind that was supposed to be a happy moment for you and Justin, whatever, and it was ruined by harassment or bullying or this concept of his past?
They've never ruined anything for me. They're not ruining my life. They're not ruining my happiness. And that, I think, is really the win of the whole thing. You're actually not taking anything away from me. So that's what I just keep stepping forward with. It's like, you can't take this away from me. You cannot take away my happiness, my relationship, my business, my career. Like, you can't. Mm-hmm. You can try and you can be mad about it, but it doesn't change anything, is my point.
Haley, what do you think the internet wants you to do?
I don't know. I legit don't know.
Like, if you were trying to get under it, like,
I'm like, sometimes I joke around, I'm like, would they be happy if I like just moved away and like locked myself in a house and just like, I don't know what the goal is. Right. That's what's so funny, is I'm just like, I don't try to understand like what is the goal.
I think I would say it's
probably a lot of the time it's attention. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people sometimes they do things and they say things in hopes to get a response out of you and to get a rise. And I've seen it happen with a lot of other people too. Like, you're ugly. And then like you respond and you're like, I wish you the best. Like, I'm sorry you feel that way. And they're like, oh my God, queen, I'm sorry. I actually love you. I was just being silly.
You're like, that was...
That wasn't funny.
That wasn't funny at all. Like, calling me ugly, like, I guess it is kind of funny because look at you, so fuck off.
No, it's just like, was your point? So then the point is like, they get the attention that they thought... I think a lot of people think you'll not respond. Mm-hmm. And I've had that happen before too. I didn't think you would see it. I'm sorry. And I'm like, so why are you saying it? Are you just bored? Like, I don't know.
Can you try to explain, what does it feel like to have millions of people against your relationship? Like, what does that feel like on a day-to-day basis to you?
I guess the biggest thing is, like, I think it's sad. I think it's sad to be against someone's happiness. I think it's sad to not wish somebody well. Who am I supposed to be that would be acceptable? And then that means that I'm living for other people. And that means that I'm being a people pleaser, which I struggle with a lot. I do want people to like me. It does bother me when people just don't like me simply because of the rumors they've heard or the ideas they've come up with or things that they've seen. Like, it makes me sad. But I think I've had to come to the point and the realization of, like, there is no way that you exist as a person, especially not as a person with a platform or in the public eye, where everybody loves you. And that's even in life in general. Even if I was just in a normal situation, not everybody's going to like you. I'm just existing in front of a lot of people. Yeah. So it's very easy to make up your, like, make decisions about how you feel about someone.
Yeah.
Especially when there's so much access to look at them and see what they're doing and their social media and there's photos and there's just, like, life. So I don't know. I think that sometimes it feels really heavy.
What has been your lowest moment since all of this began?
When things can get really dark and you can start having thoughts of, like, it not being worth it anymore or not wanting to be here anymore, which I have had before in the past. And coming out of that, I think it's really important. A support system is, like, the most important thing for sure.
Maybe if you could talk about, like, the shame of having those feelings, because mm-hmm. I bet a lot of people listening have had those thoughts and you're really alone with them, and how to even, like, comprehend them is a mm-hmm. process in itself.
Sometimes I don't think we can comprehend them on our own, because then you just throw yourself back into, like, a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. I do think sometimes you need to express it and you need to go to someone who is going to feel safe for you and support you in those thoughts, not make you feel like you're crazy or that you're wrong for feeling dark and deep and heavy. There's also this, like, kind of weird twisted thing where I'm like, I don't get to feel that way because I have an amazing life and I'm so blessed and I'm so fortunate. So, like, it's almost like my dialogue in my head feels like, get the fuck over it. Like, you don't get to feel that way because there are people in this world that are really struggling and you're not. Like, that's sometimes how I feel like I talk to myself, because I'm like, get over it, like, you're fine, that kind of a thing. And I've had to really try to be more gentle with myself and, like, allow myself. I'm somebody who, like, I hate crying in front of people. I don't do it. Like, just don't like it. And it's been since I was a little kid, and I've never understood. I mean, I've started to a little bit more in therapy and stuff, but I'm like, why do I find it so embarrassing to cry in front of people when it's like everybody cries and it's such a vulnerable thing? But I'm like, it feels so awkward and, like, cringe to me to cry in front of people, and it's always been such an uncomfortable thing for me. So, like, I have, when I say I'm, like, shy and stuff, like, I have been guarded emotionally in ways since I was, like, a little girl. So I think going through the process of also trying to understand why we have some of the tendencies we have since childhood, like, what are the things that have happened to me when I was a little kid that have, like, brought me to the place of feeling like I have to have the self-dialogue of, like, you don't get to feel that way. Get the fuck over it. People are way worse off than you. Which is also, like, true. There are people who are going through a lot different struggles yeah. and different things, but it's the sense of not invalidating the way that I feel. And I'm still working on that. And I'm 100% sure that I will be forever working on that. In December, going into the new year, I went to this place that was a, like, therapy intensive. Mm-hmm. I was there for 7 days, no phone, literally therapy, like, hours and hours a day. And that was something that we spoke about, like, tiptoeing around the way I feel or, like, not sticking up for myself. Because, again, it kind of boils back to, like, I've never enjoyed confrontation. And I think a lot of it comes from my mom is a very sweet woman who is just, like, an angel. But she, as far as I can remember, she never liked confrontation. And she, I feel like, didn't stick up for herself. And at times, still to this day, doesn't say what she wants and is like, I don't want to do this. I want to do that. Like, she is a very just gentle, kind of reserved, pulled back woman. And there's so much about her that I, like, super respect. But I think it's just a pattern that I watched growing up of just, she was just very non-confrontational. Yeah. And there was a lot we didn't talk about. There were subjects we danced around. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten older and had open conversations with my mom, and she's expressed things that have happened to her in her life and things that she's gone through that I never knew about, it made me understand why she might be like that. Mm-hmm. But it's a pattern, and it's like a learned behavior, I think, a little bit, that I am trying to move past and work past.
To close out kind of the chapter of what everything we were discussing, what would you say to her fans? Like, just coming from your heart, they're all sitting listening to you, having an open mind. Let's pretend they had it. What would you say to her fans?
I think I would say, the first thing I would say is, you're not obligated to like me. But I believe that no matter what, there can always be mutual respect between people. And to me, that means just, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to like me, but you don't have to say anything either. Because behind this person that you're looking at on a screen is a person with a brain and a heart and emotions and issues that I face. And so do you. And so does Alex. And so does every single person in this room. So you just, yeah, I think just mutual, like, respect and decency, and know that what you say can have impact, and know that, yeah, I guess that's what I would say.
Oh my God, I think I would have been a little nastier, but I love it from you, Haley.
I mean, what I want to say would be, no, I'm just kidding. No, like that, I always made the joke of, like, I think if I sat down with any of those people and they would walk away being like, you know what? I get it. Like, I respect her for that. I think we will always have more in common than we don't. That's like where everything comes from for me. So when I see people being nasty and like attacking me, I'm like, we probably like a lot of the same things.
One of my last questions on this topic, because I'm just trying to get all of it, just like, let's wrap it in a bow.
Yeah.
So you never have to talk about this again. You're like, yeah, I wish.
No, I literally never will.
No,
I'm like sweating. Stop.
At any point, did Justin or anyone, ever ask his ex to help put an end to the harassment that her fans put you through?
No. What I will say is that she has been in this industry much longer than I have, and maybe there's something that she knows about, like, it wouldn't fix anything.
I think, like, a nice little heart on your TikTok could end it all.
The thing is, too, is, like, I think that, like, everyone is just trying to, like, create separation, even though there's clearly, like, not always separation. Mm-hmm. I have no expectation. I would never expect someone to do that for me. Like, she doesn't owe me anything. I don't owe, neither of us owe anybody anything except, like, respect. I respect her a lot. And I think that, like, there's just no expectations. If that was something that she felt was necessary, then that would be amazing. But I I respect her. There's no drama personally.
Have you guys ever spoken?
Yes.
And then, like, recently? No, I don't guess not recently, but, like, after your marriage.
Yes. So that's why I'm like, it's all respect. It's all love. Mm-hmm. That's also why I feel like, well, if everybody on our side knows what happened and we're good and we could walk away from it with clarity and respect, then, like,
right,
that's fine.
As long as you know you're good, that's really all that matters.
Which had brought me a lot of peace. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, we know what happened. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. You're never going to be able to, like, correct every narrative. And there's going to be new ones that come. Oh, it's totally. Never going to end. And that's why I get to the point where I'm like, That's why I didn't speak about a lot of this stuff, mm-hmm. because I'm like, there'll be something new. There'll probably be something new from this interview.
Oh, of course.
Then I'm just like,
you don't want to know what's going to come from this interview? Hailey Bieber talking about sex.
Great.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Something that really grinds my gears is I somehow will find myself just subscribing to things, right? And then all of a sudden, I see I have been paying this subscription service and I don't even use it because I just forgot to cancel it. Rocket Money can help you cancel a subscription that would otherwise be more time consuming and also you probably forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I can see all of my subscriptions in one place. And if I see anything I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/daddy. That's rocketmoney.com/daddy. rocketmoney.com/daddy.
This episode is brought to you by Say. Say is one makeup brand you need to be using if you love that effortless, glowy, no-makeup makeup look. Exclusively at Sephora, Say is certified clean and planet positive, going above and beyond to make sure each product is skincare-packed, high-performing, and sustainable. They have several award-winning products, like their Glowy Super Gel and Slip Tint Tinted Moisturizer that hydrate and brighten skin for a dewy, sexy look. Shop the Say collection now at Sephora.
This episode is brought to you by Curology. If you have particular skincare challenges, it can be really frustrating to waste time and money on products that just are absolutely not formulated for you. That is why I'm so excited to recommend Curology. I have personally struggled with acne my whole life, and I'll look at someone on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram and be like, should I buy those products? No, I do not have the same skin as them, so I should not be treating it the same. Curology's personalized prescriptions are formulated to treat your individual skin needs, from acne to the earliest signs of aging. All you have to do is go online, take a quick quiz, and you will be connected to a licensed dermatology provider that will create a custom formula based on your skincare needs. If you're ready to start your skincare journey and start seeing results, here is a special offer just for you. Visit Curology.com/callherdaddy for a special offer. That's Curology, Curology.com/callherdaddy. Offer applies only to your first box, subject to consultation, new subscribers only, subscription required.
Hailey Bieber.
Yes.
Welcome to Call Her Daddy. You're like, we've been sitting here for an hour.
She's like, we're starting over. We're scrapping the whole thing.
No. I need to give the fans what they want, right?
Okay.
We need to just give them a little taste, right? Walk me through. Walk me through step by step your sex with Justin Bieber.
Oh my God.
I was going to try to do it so straight face that you were like, this girl's a fucking psycho. No, I was wondering, did anyone ever ask you about your sex life?
No, actually.
We're the first ones over here.
I don't think so.
Are you a morning sex or night sex people?
More so night.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I do like morning too. It's so funny because I talk about this stuff, and the reason I get weird about talking about it is because I'm like, my parents are gonna listen to this. There's something that feels so cringe.
No,
about your parents.
Hopefully they don't make it this far.
Your like, parents are probably really progressive and
true, Hailey, but I grew up fully Catholic.
Okay.
So my parents Call Her Daddy really I went from zero to oh my God, what is she doing?
Yeah.
But they get over it. This will be your introduction to
guys, I also have this theory that people don't care about married people's sex.
I'm sorry, you two are the hottest people in the world.
I
absolutely
feel like
y'all
I'm like
care.
I don't think anybody cares.
Oh, I care. Okay, so you're night sex people, we love that. Okay, this is so graphic, but I'm saying the words.
Okay.
For the rest of your life, you have to pick one of the two.
Okay.
From Mr. Bieber. Are you going to be fingered or eaten out for the rest of your life? You can only take one.
That's very hard. Because I feel like it's always a combination.
Has anyone ever tried to have a threesome with you?
Like in our relationship? Mm-hmm. No.
Would you be down?
No. It's funny because I feel like those ideas can be really fun and like sound really exciting. Yeah, I think sure. at the point that of inside of our, it doesn't work for the two of us. We personally like how that wouldn't work for the, because I think sometimes for some people it does. So mm-hmm. I've heard some people are in like open relationships mm-hmm. and like it works for a time, but I feel like in the end it always doesn't end up working. So I think the second you make the decision to do that, there is never going back from that. And I just don't know that I would ever be willing to, like, we've worked very hard. We've worked very hard to, like, be in the space that we're in now and, like, trusting each other. And there's, like, such a beautiful trust and bond that I just don't think that's something I would be comfortable with. Or him, for that matter.
Can you expand a little bit on how you guys built that trust and that bond?
He's really honest. Like brutally honest, overly honest. I could ask him about any person, any past girl, anything, and he'd be like, oh yeah, like this and this. Like he doesn't have a problem being explicit. And I think that made me trust him a lot, because I'm like, there's nothing I don't know.
Because you can tell when someone's being shady, and then when
if they dance around it, or like he's had people like DM him, and he'll be like, oh, like show me the DMs, like do you think that like this person's trying to be nice, or you think this is weird? And I'm like, I think it's weird. No, it's like he knows. He's just saying like, yeah, do you think like this person is like genuine? Because like, it'll come across like super friendly, and I'm just like, there's just no reason.
There's for, no
like,
reason you need to have a relationship. There's yeah, no, yeah, yeah, that's cute.
But I'm also someone where like I really encourage female friendships, because I think that you have to be able to have like healthy opposite sex relationships that are friendships. Mm-hmm. Or else you're like closing yourself off all the time, and it's like,
but you're not like having Instagram models like walk around your house.
No, of course. I'm just saying like, of course there's boundaries with everything.
Totally,
but
totally.
I'm just saying
that.
Like, don't be afraid to have girlfriends.
Totally. Right. Because it's like, if you can't, it's like, oh my God. Like
if I could, it'd be like, if I couldn't have friends that were guys. I think you control what the limitations are mm-hmm. in any relationship, in any friendship, in any
yeah.
work relationship.
Like you can have self-restraint and
yeah.
Be, yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Do you have people still in your DMs?
No.
You're like, I am just a married woman.
I don't have
thriving.
People hitting me up like
I'll slide
in my DMs.
I got you. Okay. Do you and Justin have the same favorite positions?
I think so. It's not like I'm like, I strictly like this one thing and he strictly likes another thing.
Can you give us like one or two or five?
It's always different.
Okay, yeah.
It's always something different.
You're moving it around.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean like one day it might be one thing, one day it might be another
thing.
Oh,
I actually didn't even mean that too. I was like, you're doing 10 positions in one
She's
night.
She's like, he's flipping you upside down one second.
So you guys have like, you guys are not set on one position. Like no. You guys have a couple go-tos.
No.
I feel like with my boyfriend, I have now like our go-to like three. I feel like every couple has those mm-hmm. like go-tos.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us one? And it can't be missionary.
It's definitely not missionary. I really like doggy style.
You heard it here. That was beautiful, Haley. What is the sexiest thing Justin does to turn you on?
You know, it can be so many different things. Mm-hmm. It can be like a connection thing. It can be a physical thing. For me, kissing is a big deal. Like that's a big thing for me. It always has been, just like in my life before I was married. So I would say that is probably the most.
What is the sexiest thing you do that turns him on? Or what's his thing that he always says, like, oh God, like Haley, like he like gets him going?
The connection point is very important to him, of like we could literally just be like laying down talking before and like just having like a really fun conversation, and like that is really his important thing. For him. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you something that I think is super sexy about you that turns me on
is voting.
Yes.
Woo!
Voting is hot.
Yes, voting is so sexy.
Yeah,
it's so sexy.
Justin can't vote here, but
oh, Well, he'll be supportive of us both voting, yeah. Okay?
He's very.
And there are so many people that listen to this show, and this airs in September. We have a huge election in November, and I just think it would be great to use the end of this episode and use this platform and our platforms to just emphasize why it's important to vote and just how much everyone needs to get out there. So why is voting in this year's election important to you, Haley?
It's important to me because I think, as everybody knows, we're in a very scary state in our country. We as women are living through a very terrifying reality mm-hmm. right now. And I think what we've learned, what I took away in a big way from the overturn of Roe v. Wade was the people that we elect in our states, in our cities, in our counties, they are so important. And that was something that I was like, shit, like,
we gotta
this
get on
is
it.
Really the reality. We got to get on it. I felt very passionate the last election about just please get him out of there. Please. Like, that was like, it felt like legit, like life or death. And it was in so many ways. And I still feel that even more now, because you've seen there's still so many terrible, scary things happening within our country. But I do think there's a chance for, like, change. And I always think there's an opportunity for change, and there's an opportunity to come together and stand up and make a difference.
You've been open about the fact that people in your family have different political views than you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the most relatable thing we'll talk about on the podcast right. today. And I think so many people can relate to that. How did you navigate that? Because it can get heated.
Yeah, it was tricky, especially very personally, like my dad, my parents. It just got to a point where I found that we couldn't discuss it, mm-hmm. which I think is okay. I believe what I believe. I am a fully formed woman now. 25 turning 26. I know what I believe in and what I don't. I know what I stand for and what I don't. And obviously it's disappointing that the people that raised you could think so differently than you and have such a different perception that sounds crazy, and you're just like, how did I come from you then? I just don't get this. But it just causes too much disturbance and turmoil and argumentative back and forth that it's just like, it just can't be talked about.
You're not going to change people.
And it's funny because me and my sister have the same exact point of view, mm-hmm. which is like nice, because at least I'm like, at least I got you. Like,
at least, thank
and
God.
Then my mom, like, I'll try to talk to her about something. She's like, I'm from Brazil. So I'm like, okay. My mom's okay. from Brazil, by the way.
Oh my God. No, I appreciate that. I think it's always good to just, one, normalize people are going to have different views. But I do think regardless, like, just get out and vote, because it is so important this year specifically.
For sure. So, guys, and it's not something that I even, you know, the last election I was super vocal about mm-hmm. it. I plan to do that every single time. Mm-hmm. It's something that I'm passionate about for yeah. sure. So yeah. I appreciate you bringing it up.
Haley Bieber, thank you so much for coming on Call Her Daddy. I really appreciate you opening up. You don't do a lot of long form interviews, so I appreciate you trusting me and sitting down with me.
Of course. Thank you. So good. I think I had an expectation where I know coming on here with you, you're going to go there. That's just the reality of the situation. I wouldn't have agreed to it if I didn't know that was the case mm-hmm. here. I think there's a lot that I've avoided speaking on for a long time, that it is my life, so I should be able to, like, say what I want about it. You go there in certain contexts where it's like, I've not gone before, and I think that's like a personal challenge to myself that I wanted to, like, push myself to, like, you know, it's okay to be like, I was uncomfortable multiple times in this my feet are inside of the couch, because I was like, how many, like, protective body positions did I get into? I folded like a pretzel.
What happens in New York, Haley?
To be honest, I really was always a very level-headed young person, but I definitely had my moment where, like, I went to New York, I started going out to the club, like, that's just what happens when I mean, I guess it's not just what happens. You move to New York, you're going to the club. But I got introduced to like nightlife and going out and drinking, and you know, I definitely had my moments of that. That was like my time, probably like 18 to. But I swear, by the time I turned 21, I was like, ugh, I'm over drinking.
Do you remember the first time you got drunk? Was it a disaster?
Yes. The first time I got drunk, I was like, oh my God, this is so funny. I was 16. Yeah, I think I was 16. And I used to be a dancer, like I said before. And I think we had like a recital. And one of my friends who I danced with, she had like the best house for like sleepovers because she had like the dope basement. Oh. So we would go in the basement, shut the door, the parents would never come down, so we would take like all the alcohol and just get drunk in the basement,
the two of you.
No, it was like multiple girls. Okay. Like all the girls from the our dance school. And the first time I like really remember getting drunk, I didn't throw up, which is like surprising. That one time I didn't throw up. Thrown up multiple times from drinking, but that one time I remember like crawling on the floor because I like could not walk, like could not stand up straight. And I was just mixing everything because I didn't know what to drink. So I can never, if you made me smell Ciroc birthday cake vodka right now,
Ciroc?
Or like Svedka birthday cake, Pinnacle.
And you would just bomb.
If you made me smell that right now, I would proceed to fall into a dark hole. Like, dude, that would trigger me.
That I feel like
that was what we
that.
Were drinking, and then like mixing it with like a beer and like a Mike's Hard and like all this crazy. Like the fact that I didn't throw up is a miracle. But I remember waking up the next day and I was so hungover, and I called my cousin who was like staying with us at the time, who I was really close to. I am really close to, and I was like, "Hey," she was older than me. I was like, "Can you pick me up from her house? I don't want my mom to like pick me up," because I had moments with my mom where I'd like go to a party or something and I would have had like a couple sips of a drink and she would get in the car and she would smell my breath. So I'm like, I can't have my mom pick me up right now, like she's gonna know. And my friends asked me to take all the empties and find somewhere to throw them out because she didn't want her mom to find them. So my cousin comes to get me, I take all the bags of empties, we pull over into an Olive Garden parking lot and find a dumpster, throw it in the dumpster, and I'm like sitting in the car with her and I was like, I need you to take me to church, like I have to go to youth group. That was like where I thought I needed to be, because I felt so bad.
What?
I just felt bad. I felt like I did something so wrong, like I got like wasted and I'm hungover. I just felt like hell. So I was like, I need Jesus, like I need to go. And that's like legit how I felt. I was like, I gotta go to like church. And then I remember I went to like youth group. And I was so hungover at the youth group that I was like, oh, my God, I got to go home. Like, I can't be here right now. But that was, like, what my instinct was. Like, I got to go.
I got to go to youth group after I get hammered for the first time in the basement. It's a classic.
Classic.
I feel like you are the sweetest angel. And then
no,
there's...
that's what's so funny about, like, me moving into New York City. It would be, like, Friday night. I was, like, in up and down taking shots. And then I was, like, going to church on Sunday, which I think is, like, so fine. I don't see, like, a problem with that. It's just the juxtaposition is really funny.
The fact that you just referenced up and down in New York, I think I've had the most disgusting, ratchet, amazing, awful nights of my life.
Yeah.
In up and down. Like,
100%.
Ruin your life, but also, like, great night.
Many, many a traumatizing moment.
Absolutely.
And great moment in up and down.
I had a couple of awful nights at Marquee, but, like, up and down specifically, you're like, God bless, thank
Marquee.
You. Marquee.
What was the one on the roof, PhD?
Oh, PhD. Hilly, you're like a normal human going to the ratchet spots. I'm obsessed.
That was where I was from. I lived there.
Do you and Justin like go out and have fun still? Are you able to do that? Okay.
We went out last night to Delilah.
Oh, that's
which was fun.
There you go.
Yeah, I think definitely both of us do not turn up the way we used to. Just simply because it's never worth the way you feel.
Absolutely not.
I feel like now I get hungover by accident. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't trying to. It was just like that last glass of wine. You shouldn't have done it. It's hard for me. When I was 18 to 20, I felt like I was drinking four times my body weight and was fine.
A full like water bottle of vodka would be in my system. And I'd be like, I'm cruising through the night.
I would wake up the next day give me a bacon, egg, and cheese and a blue Gatorade and I'm fine.
Haley, did you like rip that from me? Because that is my order. Please and thank you. In New York, you go to every a fucking day. Bodega.
I had to either get a bagel and a blue Gatorade. It had to be blue Gatorade. Though.
Always. Yeah, only.
Bacon, egg, and cheese on a croissant, blue Gatorade.
You're back. You're fine.
Thriving. Never been better.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month. So I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today. This episode is brought to you by UGG. Who's ready to create some core memories this spring, Daddy Gang? Rally the squad. We're packing up and heading out on a road trip in UGG. Y'all know I live in my UGG classic boots. Well, now it's time to swap out the boots for the sandal of the season, the Golden Glow, because you already know UGG season is year-round, baby. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com.